He got to his feet, and that was when the call came. Nor was he the only one who heard it. Oi let go a short, hurt-sounding yip. Roland might have been standing right next to them. To me, Jake, and hurry. He's going. 7. Jake hurried back down one of the alleys, skirted the still smoldering warden's house. Tassa, the houseboy, who had either ignored Roland's order to leave or hadn't been informed of it, was sitting silently on the stoop in a kilt and a sweatshirt, his head in his hands, and began to trot up the mall, sparing a quick and troubled glance at the long line of dead bodies. The little seance circle he'd seen earlier was gone. "I won't cry," he promised himself grimly. "If I'm old enough to smoke and think about drawing myself a beer, I'm old enough to control my stupid eyes. I won't cry." Knowing he almost certainly would. 8. Shimi and Ted had joined Dinky outside the proctor suite. Dinky had given up his seat to Shimi. Ted looked tired, but Shimi looked like shit on a cracker to Jake. Eyes bloodshot again, a crust of dried blood around his nose and one ear, cheeks leaden. He had taken off one of his slippers and was massaging his foot as though it pained him. Yet he was clearly happy, maybe even exalted.
"Beam says all may yet be well, young Jake," Shimi said. "Beam says not too late. Beam says thank you."
"That's good," Jake said, reaching for the doorknob. He barely heard what Shimi was saying. He was concentrating. "Won't cry and make it harder for her," on controlling his emotions once he was inside. Then Shimi said something that brought him back in a hurry.
"Not too late in the real world either," Shimi said. "We know. We peeked. Saw the moving sign. Didn't we, Ted?"